What are you listening to?
To another episode of Mad Chatter.
Oh, no.
Think you can stop what we do?
I doubt it.
We've got the energy to tell you all about it. We are all in our Irish rap phase.
Rap.
Is it rap?
Is it Irish?
Drums and bass. It's a little spoiler from the voice of one of our guests, actually our only guest. So again, it's only Maddie 1.
And Maddie 2.
And no.
Media Maddie?
Maddie 3. she is still gallivanting over. I think she's helping her mum compete in Wimbledon at the moment. If
or
anyone wants any
like Princess Diana lookalikes, not sure which one.
The fact that she actually was wearing the tennis whites to Wimbledon, oh. Mrs. Michelle, Maddie's mum, was iconic.
Very iconic.
Before we say too much, though, we need to introduce our guest so that she can start contributing. she doesn't know what to do.
And it's not Sophie.
And it's not Sophie. No, since Sophie failed the anchor test.
I actually feel really bad because I had got requests saying, we hope Sophie comes back. And
I was like, oh, I guess we could have had her as like the...
You could have had a fourth one.
Yeah. Stop talking.
Sorry. No one knows who I am. It's bad.
So if anyone recognises that voice, she is... the queen of Manly. She is also the queen of the kitchen. She's also the queen of the cake committee at the New South Wales Swifts. She did used to play live across in enemy territory and played for the Giants. But she
saw the light.
She did see the light and she came across to the mighty New South Wales Swifts. She actually represented Australia as well with the World Youth Cup in under-21s. Fast five for Australia and just an all-round great gal. So in case you didn't know who it was, it is...
Tegan O'Shaughnessy!
Woo!
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
So exciting.
Now, Tegan's got a bit of a dodgy mic, so she's going to have to make sure she leans forwards, but it's...
hello, make love with the mic.
Yeah, that's fine. It's been a while.
Make love. And we're straight into the X-rated stuff.
Guys, hello.
This is the uncut version of Tegan's interview, and I like it.
When Media Maddie goes away, we...
come out to play?
Yeah.
But no, we did about having Tegan on now versus once Media Maddie is back because A, you're very good friends with Media Maddie and B, she's helped you with something really exciting that has recently happened. But we figured that we'd have you this week because we wanted to strike while the iron is hot because...
Am I saying it?
Yes.
I've announced my Toss Together website.
Woo!
But to be fair, both of you Maddies has helped me a lot as well. So I feel like it's a Maddie combo.
I think the Maddie one over here did like three things. I think Maddie 2 definitely helped with the logo and the design.
Maddie 2 did a lot.
And I just
Maddie 1 did the editing for something else exciting that's coming.
Oh.
Well, you. No, are you Maddie 1?
Yeah, Maddie 1. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah, because we haven't announced. Okay,
well,
so there's still.
Well, actually, I have announced it.
That just means we're going to have you back, though, once the actual.
True.
Wait, we're allowed to say it?
Yeah.
Once the ebook drops.
Yep. Snacks edition.
You're an entrepreneur.
I know, guys. I literally was saying that last night. I'm like, God, I'm like a business owner.
You can add that to your Tinder profile.
Oh, my God. Hinge, guys. Once we get a boyfriend like that.
Hit Tegan up. Dual athlete and entrepreneur. Entrepreneur.
Add it to the Wikipedia page.
What were we joking about last week? Like, you combine your hobby with making money.
And I was like, oh my God, that's me. Although I haven't really made any money yet, but so hopefully smart. That's the plan.
But you're having fun.
Exactly. I'm enjoying it.
Living the life. The site looks so profesh. And
thanks.
I've tried one of the recipes. Great. Easy to follow. Recommend.
Even I tried a recipe. Oh, sorry. No, your recipe was on your Instagram.
Though. That's on the website.
The Noki. If it's Maddie 1 friendly, then it means that anyone can cook it.
Yeah, that's what I'm catering to. It's got to be friendly for all.
No. I love a good air fryer recipe too.
Yeah, well, there's a lot in the ebook coming out that's air fryer. So, yeah.
So excited. We'll get, in more detail into the website / the ebook / that side of your life. But we were thinking on the way here, we're like, now, you know, we had Sarah in a few weeks ago and she didn't want to be interviewed, but we're going to interview you. So, sorry if you didn't want to do that. But we thought, get the listeners to know a little bit more about, you know, who Tegan O'Shaughnessy is.
Queen of Manly.
Queen of Manly. I love that. I'm going to add that to my Hinge bio
too.
You're
not even from Manly.
I used to live in Queenscliff, which is pretty much Manly.
Where do you live now?
Forestville. Don't tell anyone.
It's still the Northern Beaches.
It's still the Northern Beaches, but it's like
fake.
The bush of the Northern Beaches. So it's not the beach side.
Did you grow up in Queenscliff?
So I grew up in more North Bargala, which is like where Kelly, like across the road from Kelly's is. Have you been there? Yeah, so that's more like Seaforth.
The listeners definitely haven't
been. Yeah, if you know where Kelly's going to live, that's where I used
to live. Kelly Singleton's listening, you know what she's talking about.
Exactly, that's one person who knows. Yeah, so that was more, yeah, closer to Manly. And then I moved to Queenscliff in maybe like year 9 or year 10. So then grew up there and then I moved to my grandparents' Forestville when my parents moved to Oberon because they abandoned me. Living their own lives, how rude.
How dare they?
I know, how dare they. But, and then I moved east last year, so I had a bit of a spiel on the eastern suburbs, which I thought I would never do.
I remember hearing that Tegan was going to cross the bridge, and I was like, I don't know if you'd be allowed in.
I never thought that I would do that, but it was actually such a great year. Like, it was such a different lifestyle over that way, I feel. Like, a bit more social, like, easy to just get the train into the city. Like, it was good. But then, obviously, yeah, now I moved back to my grandparents, save me some money. My sister's there at the moment. And it's good. Like, I love Forestville. It's nice. It's like backs onto some nice bush.
Yeah, I was saying, if anyone follows it, Tegan on Instagram, you always see her photos with the pool.
Exactly.
And the,
it's got a great backyard.
It's a great area.
So, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Tegan as a child? So just tell us about what were your interests, what were your hobbies, what were you like? So you're the youngest of three girls.
Three.
Oh, yeah. My God. She's forgotten. Oh, my God.
I'm clearly not very good at maths, guys. That wasn't my strong suit. I only stayed in maths in high school because I had a hot teacher. Shout out to Mr.
Oh,
Cruz.
My God. We're going to talk about this. We are talking about this later in the episode. Maddie and Tegan, remind me. We're talking about this, about the older ones.
I really threw myself under the bus there.
But I love
but, it. But, yes, growing up, I think, yeah, obviously I was the youngest of two.
Three.
Oldest sisters. Oh, my God. What's wrong with me? I was a pretty feral child. Let's just be honest. Like, you can ask my sisters, my family. I think being the youngest, like, I was just crazy. And, you know, Maddie always makes a joke about me sucking at other sisters. Which, to be fair, is quite true. But growing up, I was kind of like, I was never like swimming I sucked at growing up. Which
really?
Now I'm like actually.
Yeah, you're a good swimmer.
Yeah, I really enjoy swimming now, but I feel like I'm going to blame my allergies. I used to get really itchy skin, so I used to hate swimming.
Preach.
Yeah, exactly. So I used to like not want to do it. But like athletics, I was always like, you know, good at it, but like nothing, wasn't like an all-round kind of sports star. And then, yeah, grew up playing netball. Obviously, my older sisters played netball. My mum used to play netball, so she was.
Who did your mum play for?
So she was down at AAS. So she.
I was going to say, because I remember the commentators, I can't remember which commentator it was, used to always talk about the fact that your mum was like.
What's her name?
I can't remember who it was that used to say that. Ann Sargent.
Yes, probably. Or the other one. She comments the Sunday Coast games. What's her name?
Oh, Shannon Finn White.
Yes.
Shannon Finn White.
I don't know if they used to play against each other. I don't know. Yes, my mum played with like Shelley O'Donnell.
Yeah, wow.
Whoever that age group
and
names one
was it the AAS when they played as the Darters? Or just played
I
for
think
the
so.
AAS?
So she was there for like 3 years.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Then she just, so she always jokes that Liz Ellis came out after she just.
So Liz Ellis only got her big break because your mum retired herself.
Literally, Liz, I was like, mum, don't tell people that.
That is brilliant. No, that's a flex.
Sorry, but that's a joke. So Liz is obviously younger than mum.
So your mum would have been Queen of the Jungle.
Probably. That, yeah, true.
Gosh, she would have been, missed out.
What is it? CEO of Netball or something.
Yeah, Chair of Netball
Chair of Netball Show. That would have been my mum. God, guys. But yeah, so she played. She was like just before they made. Yeah, like,
CBT.
They went into like, yeah, yes. And then she used to do her shoulders and injuries and stuff. So she just like retired. I think she was like 24 or something. So still quite young.
Was she a defender?
Yep, goalkeeper, got offence.
And were your sisters defenders?
Yes, so middle sister, yes, Holly, older sister, was, yeah, goalkeeper, got offence. And then the middle sister, she's like a bit shorter, so she's only like 5'10", which is still really tall.
How embarrassing.
And we always say that in joke that she's a short one, but she's still tall. So she was more like she went from like wing attack to wing defence to sometimes, yeah, goal defence, but she was more like a mid-quarter of the family. We actually, when I was like 17, we all ended up playing club netball together. So mum was the coach.
That's really cool.
And we all had like family friends and it was like Holly goalkeeper, me goal defence and Caitlin was a wing defence.
That's so fun.
And we won. I know. Oh, yeah, there was some.
I can imagine.
I know. But yeah, we ended up winning A grade at Manly courts.
Wow.
A couple of courts. So a bit of a flex. But yeah, what else do you want to know?
As a sister, were you in a fight with your siblings, are you going like physical or are you like doing like snide little things? Are you dibber-dobbing because you're youngest?
So I was never really the dibber-dobber. I feel like Holly and Caitlin used to fight more and I'd be like, I'd either side with one of them. Yeah, I'd pick a side and be like, who's going to win this fight? But no,
strategic.
Yeah, literally. So Holly growing up was such like a, she used to joke to me, be like, protect your queen. And I'd be like this little feral.
So
like,
she was the queen of Manly.
She was the queen, like little, meanie. And like she would bully Caitlin. And then I would just back up Holly. But then Caitlin was like a bit of a psycho growing up. Like she used to throw mayonnaise bottles at, like, I think she threw a knife one time at Holly.
That's very specific. Like she threw mayonnaise bottles. Yeah, like
that was just amazing. I think she was the middle, classic middle child, like psycho.
That's the best of us.
But no, there was one time I think we were fighting and I jumped on Caitlin's back and she shoved me back into the wall and there was a big like bum hole.
Stop it. Everyone thinks brothers fight physically, but you guys had it
all. Did have a bit of physical fight. It was like a combo. I think we mix it up, you know.
But you all get along really well now.
Yeah, so I live, so Caitlin's living at Nanny's as well. So we originally were like, oh my God, we're going to hate each other. We're going to fight so much. We've actually been so good. Like I think we're both a bit.
When you get older.
Older, like. Someone, we ask each other to do something and, you know, if we were younger, we're like, no, like, absolutely not. But now we're like,
you actually want to hang out with them.
Exactly. And we actually, like, get along quite nicely. So, yeah.
What were you like as, like, a student at school? Because you've obviously done a degree in nutrition. Mm-hmm. Is that what the degree's called?
Yeah, Bachelor of Food and Nutrition. Yeah.
So, like, you got to be switched on to do that.
Honestly,
like,
I actually got a pretty good ATAR. Everyone's so surprised. I don't know, guys.
No, because more because you said you were a bit of a feral. So I was like, were you good at school or what were you like?
No, I wouldn't say I was great at school, but I wasn't, like, terrible. I feel like going through primary school, I had a lot of, like, I've always joked, like, I'm not a very good learner. Like, I can't sit in the classroom and, like, absorb. I used to have to, like, try really hard to do it myself. So I feel like primary school, I struggled quite a bit learning-wise. And then high school, I feel like, I was all right, but obviously I was doing sport a lot. And I think I still managed to kind of scrape through. In year 12, I feel like when it came to HSC, I actually, like, just taught myself pretty much everything because I knew I like was barely at school with training and stuff. So I think I wasn't terrible, but I wasn't like, wouldn't sound like a great
studious student.
I was just there for a good time.
Life the party.
For the hot teachers, Mr. Cruz.
Oh my God, I can't really, I know, how long did you stay in maths for?
I got to year 12, like, you know, you start and I was like, no, I'm going to try and do it. And then I think I started in advanced and dropped down to general and then I just dropped all together. I was like, I can't, fall I'm from sorry. Grace. Literally, I started up the top, I couldn't do it. It was just too hard.
So you kind of made a comment earlier about the fact that I say to you that you're one of those people that's just good at netball. So I'm going to give people some context. So we play a game before training called Tebow. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast before. I think we have. It's kind of like a volleyball version. Anyway, I've always had this bit of a theory that there's people that when they become professional athletes, they are either – fall into two categories. They either were someone that was just growing up, always good at every sport, just really naturally gifted, athletic, kind of could play anything if they wanted to. Then there's this other group that are like, I was just really, really, really good at one thing and I honed sounds in like on someone. That skill, but I was could never translate into anything else. So I wanted to maybe try and get some footage of Tegan when we can do this. But Tegan is the most uncoordinated player I've ever seen.
Like hand-eye coordination goes out the
window. Yeah, but when I'm on the netball court, it's not that bad.
No,
I know.
But it's entertaining. And I don't know whether now as well it's a bit of a pressure thing. Like I did make quite a rude comment the other day saying that Tegan should be studied because it's quite
honestly, know, it's kind of true.
It's always special what she does on the court, on the netball court.
She saves it for training.
Exactly. For netball.
Actually, even in the rugby game we played.
What rugby touch. Game?
Oh, I didn't.
You rolled your ankle.
Oh yeah.
No one was near you.
To be fair, I tried to do a really hard like dodge, and it didn't go my way.
Not helping. This is not helping.
We weren't warm.
No, but you actually are a really good runner as well.
Thanks. Am I?
Yeah.
We said you did athletics as well. Athletics and swimming. I was just like, I always thought you were like must have been a swimmer when you were a kid.
Yeah, you're quite good at that.
I mean, I never did little athletics or anything. I used to just win at school because I think everyone in my school sucked.
Best of a bad bunch.
Sorry, guys. But but no, that's definitely true. I remember Anita Keelan said to me, she's like, you're a great netballer, but you're a terrible athlete. And I was like 17. I was like, yep, okay, cool.
You're like, thank you, I think.
And I think I always used to say to mum, I used to always want to play like soccer and play other sports growing up. And mum, I think just being busy, was like, nah, like you're just going to – I get to touch footy and stuff like that. But I used to just – like anyone you go into reps, it was obviously like a busy schedule. So I think I did just end up doing
– You also got two netball.
Yeah.
Well.
So
I actually must admit that's a thing because – Sorry, Maddie and I have talked about it previously on the podcast that in like South Australia, there's no reps or anything like that. Like we don't do state age or anything. So I actually feel like that meant like
do random sports.
Played so many sports. Yeah. But I think you're right. We had time to, because it was like you played club netball. You might have trained once a week. You might have played for two different netball clubs, but that's still only two trainings. You had time to like do other things. And again, Adelaide's a bit easier to get around. But that's a good point. That so it's actually your mum and sister's fault.
Exactly.
That you
it's
only,
not my fault, guys.
That you only were ever good
literally,
at netball.
Like, I used to sound like I wish I played like more sports to get more skills and like stuff like that. I feel like that is obviously really handy. But I did like nippers and stuff so like that as well.
So you can surf as well.
Yeah. It's got to be a good wave.
Okay, now I'm sort of convincing myself that maybe you aren't as uncoordinated as I thought.
I think I am, but, you know, I mean, I never did basketball. I tried doing basketball and I couldn't shoot. So I did choose, talk myself out of doing that.
Yeah, that's
so I probably could have
done
that.
Did your dad
more.
Play sport?
No. Sorry, Dad, love you. He was, oh, yeah, he did, like, rugby stuff, but he does, like, surf boat rowing.
That's
so he was like,
that's, like,
yeah,
true athlete,
so
though,
is,
as well.
Yeah.
Like,
true, I won't tell him.
That's not fun.
Dad, don't listen to this episode.
He was more, the surf boat.
Yeah.
Which he still does, so credit to him.
Many surf boats in Oberon?
No. They literally brought the surf boat out one time and did it on, like, I don't know what the lake is, Oberon Lake. But it was, like, freezing. But, no, when he comes to Sydney, he still does it, but no.
Did you always have a passion for food, like, growing up? Or when were you like, I need to do this for career, like, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, someone asked me that not long ago, but I think when I was, like, 11, 12, I remember, like, I want to be a chef, and, like, my auntie bought me all these cookbooks and all this stuff. But then I really went away from it, like, during high school. Like, I feel like I just wasn't, like, used to, like, making my own lunches and stuff. I think probably credit to mum, she kind of got to a phase, like, nah, that you girls do your own. So I think I just actually enjoy, bringing stuff to school, and everyone's like, oh, like, what do you have and stuff like that. So I feel like that maybe was like a bit of a spark. But it was actually when I went to schoolies. what a paparazzi. I stayed with my uncle before and after schoolies, not for the whole schoolies. And he like lived up in Byron. He had like his own veggie garden. He took me out like cool cafes like with some friends. And I don't know, that just like really sparked my interest in all like that kind of wholesome, you know, growing your own food, like cooking from like locally sourced. I feel like I really loved that. And I think after that, kind of sparked my interest a bit more. And I didn't do the Bachelor of Food and Nutrition straight away. I started like doing sports science. I think as you do. I was like, I'm sporty, I'll do that. I had no interest in anything else.
You're a netbally, not
sporty. Yeah, that's a good point. That's probably why I didn't do well in the degree. But literally the only subject I liked was the nutrition one. I think I failed like anatomy. I failed all the there was one subject I think I like got like 3 out of 20 every time. But anyway, story for another time. And then I kind of had a year off and like kept doing. So I actually backtrack. Me and Claire O'Brien started Demogato Feed.
Oh my god, yes. That was my first interaction with you because you weren't at the Swifts then.
No,
I didn't really
I was
know you,
giant.
But I knew you through Claire because Claire was at the Swifts.
So funny. So we did World Youth Cup together. I was friends with Claire growing up, and we always used to just like be foodies kind of together, and we're like, oh my god, like let's start an account. And that probably started like more of the kind of specific interest in the nutrition as well. And then I started doing I think Devocado became before I went to uni and studied the food and nutrition. So I think that probably sparked all the interest, and posting all my recipes and stuff like that was.
I always remember that account and saying to Tegan that it was no. It was great and I loved it, but it was always so obvious when you posted or Claire posted. Like, we love Claire O'Brien.
I was taking with her Nokia 300 or something.
It had looked like sort of a dog's breakfast. And I mean, it was great, but like you would actually take the effort to kind of like, you know, make the picture look aesthetically pleasing. You'd like, even the way you would like write was so funny. Like, we've talked about the Claire O'Brien-isms, like, what are this and what are that?
Yeah, what are that? Well, it got to the point where I end up like, finishing off like right and like toss
password.
Or like make sure people knew
sign
it was
off as you.
Sorry, it's very obvious.
Like, sorry, Claire. And I think there was one time that Claire used to kept posting the worst stories, like literally the worst, like the worst quality, and I used to start deleting. And then I'd go back and she would have like re-uploaded them and was like, something's happening. I was like, yeah, I don't know, Claire. And then we'd like delete them again. But
he'd be like, sorry, it's
I know,
glitch.
I'm like,
it's
a
glitch,
glitch
in the system.
Can't upload bad photos.
Were you in? When did you get signed for Giants? When was that?
Yeah, sorry, can we go back even further? Sorry, can you talk us through your netball journey?
Yes, of course. So, growing up, so I did rep, so we had that obviously in Sydney, and then did like the state teams, New South Wales state teams.
Always a defender as well? Started
always
out.
A defender. So I went through a phase of under 10s playing goal attack.
Yeah, everyone has that one like experience.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, I think mum being a defender was like, no.
We will not have a shooter in this
exactly.
family.
I was like, you know,
know
I could probably
your limits.
Yeah, literally get away with being a bit more uncoordinated in the defensive. So kind of came through that pathway, went through NSWIS. And then when they kind of made, the new Giants team, like when that came about and there was Swiss or Giants, I think there was a few of us who kind of had the option of going to either. So I think at the time, I think Bryony was our N-Swiss coach. And I still remember, I think I was in 12, like having a conversation with her and being like, you know, like I don't know what to do. Like obviously like Kim, at the time, like Kim Green had gone, like all these kind of big players had gone to Giants. And, but I said, I remember saying to Bryony, like I've always wanted to be a Swift, like I don't know what to do. And then I think because mum, Julie had coached mum before, like it was just kind of like, it did just kind of at the time feel right to go to Giants. Yeah. And yeah, so I went there. I actually don't know what year that was.
2019, I just looked it up.
Yeah, oh, there you go, 2019.
Oh, wait, were you there for the first year?
You were
a training partner. Sorry, so 2017 was the first year of SSN.
Yes, so I was a training partner.
For 2017, 2018, yeah.
Yes, and then I got, yeah, signed for, yeah, 2 years was my first year deal. And then you had, I think, went straight, kind of signed it. And then like a month later, we did this other competition. Then I did my Achilles. So I kind of was still.
Nelson.
Yes, Nelson. Yes, that was like a trip you guys did the year before.
Oh, my God, and we got stuck there. Yes. Yeah, that was the first. Oh, so you went the year after to Nelson and that's when you did your Achilles.
Yeah, what a super ew, club. Nelson. Bad thing.
Up until your Achilles, because obviously, again, people not like listening might not know, like you have had a pretty tough journey in terms of injuries. Was your Achilles your first major injury or had you had injuries before that?
Can we discuss the volleyball in the pool?
That comes after, so we'll get to that.
Oh, wait.
The sorry, yeah, guys. No, it was after. I know.
It's like a little kid injury.
I know. Pathetic. So growing up, I was obviously like being taller. I'm like, I wish I, you know, to my kids, I'm like getting to Pilates at like 5 years old, guys. Like we're starting strong.
The knee program early.
Exactly. I was just like, yeah, lanky. Like I just was like so floppy and like would have so many niggles and stuff growing up. And then the first one was probably, yeah, I think it was my first year Giants. I got a stress fracture in my back. So that was kind of like the start of, I think I went through, yeah, this kind of bad cycle. And at the time, like not realizing I was like going through, I was struggling with like a bit of an eating disorder as well. Like I was just like, and that kind of looking back, like links to every kind of injury that I pretty much had. So I started, yeah, with the stress fracture. I came back, had a decent kind of season. Yeah, got signed for that 2 years. Went away for another competition, did my Achilles, came back. And then it was that end of that kind of year that I kind of went, I mean, I probably was like the fittest I'd ever been, like went hard. I was like, yep, I'm going to come back super, super fit. Was like probably eating like too healthy. Like we all probably go through that phase of just be like, yep, I want to get fit, want to get back to netball. And then, yeah, I was kind of probably struggling with getting my period, which is another sign, which at the time I kind of had no idea that that was probably an issue. So I think growing up, we weren't really educated on that like you kind of are now.
Were you like calorie counting?
No, not, okay. No. I think it was just more like, because I was kind of starting to get interested in the food. I was like, oh, like this is healthy. Like, yeah, I was kind of more like,
I also think there's a little bit of like, I know that I went through it a bit when I first was injured. Like, this idea of like, I'm injured, I'm not training as much, 100%. I need to stop eating as much as 100%. I used to. But then you learn that like, you actually need to eat more sometimes when 100%. You're injured because your body's recovering. So I think it's almost like a misconception that it's like, you always associate how much you should eat with how much you're training. Yeah. And if that doesn't correlate, you're like, well, I need to cut one thing off and you can't control the training so you can control 100%. Your eating.
And that was, I think, that's probably me going and studying it was probably, I reckon, like one of the best things for me because I actually understood. I was like, wow, whereas before, you know, you just see on social media, you just kind of like try and put things together in your head. And I feel like that was where I was kind of like spiraling. And then, yeah, so I probably lost too much weight and then there was happened the volleyball is in the pool. So I think it was like, this is when
I remember, I didn't know it was in the pool. I knew it was playing volleyball, but I didn't know it was in the pool. No, I need this full story.
Yes, at the time, like I was probably underweight, still training a lot. This is probably like January of the second year of my contract. And then.
So first year you've done your Achilles.
I came back probably round three.
Okay.
And then I debuted that year and then just like, so I was still there, but I just didn't get put on at all.
Yeah,
Classic. And then, yeah, so this is back in Scone, back with my ex. I blame him, lol.
Are we keeping that in or are we cutting that in?
We can keep that in. So pretty much it was just like an old volleyball full of water. So it was like pretty heavy and we were just playing with it in the pool. And I remember he hit me in the ball. I hit it back and I was like, oh, ow. And then he hit it back straight away, hit it again. I was like, oh my God, like that really hurt my wrist. And like in hindsight, shouldn't have done anything to it really. And I ended up like, I didn't really kind of realize a couple of weeks later was still struggling. I had like a fracture in my wrist as well, which is like another kind of red flag.
I think that's where the fear comes in for Ted Bull.
Yeah,
probably.
I was
going to
say, maybe this is
that's
triggering.
What my issue is. I know, and it's struck both wrist guys.
So when you say you shouldn't have broken, are you saying that because you weren't eating enough, your bones?
Yes. And at the time in my head, I didn't realize that I wasn't eating enough, but I obviously knew that I was eating healthy and I was trying to like, yeah, I went through this phase of being like, I'm only going to have raw foods or like raw treats. You know, I wouldn't eat like a, for example, like a proper Snickers, like there's this whole phase looking back, I'm like, oh my God, like I feel so sad for that version of myself, like just still figuring out like who she is and her interest in like just kind of, yeah, diving into kind of one thing. And I think it kind of came from obviously being injured, like you guys would know, you kind of lose a sense of control. And I feel like for me, that was like latching onto that. And because I was interested in it as well, just kind of seeing like, okay, this must be what I should do in this time.
It seemed right.
So I think that kind of, yeah, set me on a bad path. And it was probably coming back from that. I then was still kind of going through the same struggles. And then this is when I kind of, all the hub or COVID kind of hit. And I even remember like looking back when we kind of had that first break from COVID, it was like, you know, girls go home, like we're not going to train for the week. And I remember going home and just like freaking out, being like, oh my God, like I can't train. Like, what am I going to do? And just like,
like another piece has been taken
away. Exactly. Yeah. I was just like, I have no sense of control. And I think I just went even like, okay, I was like, I'm going to like, start probably eating less. I'm not training. Like it was just like,
one thing led to the next,
And then I remember I started getting sick all the time. I was just like, fuck, I just feel like exhausted, like my glands are swelling all the time. And I just could not get like over this kind of, just this feeling of just like, I always say it was just like this death feeling. Like it was just like, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just didn't feel right. And I remember we went away, I think to Kalgoorlie or something, played. Like I ended up playing, I actually did all right. I was like, wow, that was so fun. Came back and was just like, woke up the next day and just felt like horrible. And I still at the time was still going to training because I just had this like fear of like, oh my God, like something can't be wrong with me again. Like I have to go to training. And I remember a few of the other girls were sick and were like staying home and resting. I was like, oh, maybe I should have done that. Like I should have probably lived to my body. I didn't think that I could. Yeah, I think I always kind of pushed too far and then I was like, injured or like had to rest, like I didn't let myself. Then I found out that I had like the glandular fever and I was like, oh my God. And I remember this like pinpoint, I'm going very deep here.
No, I love this. This is what the podcast is for. Like,
sorry, you were giant Sue at this point.
Yes, I'm still giant. So this is like the year that you guys went into your first hub. So I should have
2020.
Yeah. I was in the team that year, so I should have gone to the hub. And I remember this is probably like at the time it was like, I feel like I don't really tell people this, but it was like this horrible kind of meeting that I had, but it probably changed my whole like perspective. So I remember Julie calling me and be like, hey, this is when they were kind of like talking about the hub kind of thing. And I had like a week off training because they told me, you know, you have to stay at home, you have to rest. And I remember them being like, okay, we want you to come in. We're going to have like a big meeting. And I remember walking in and it was like Julie, it was Jenny, the assistant coach. It was our dietitian, it was our doctor, it was our physio.
God, so intimidating.
And it was just me. And I remember walking in and be like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? And I remember kind of sitting there and they kind of just like, and they credit to them, they kind of knew that I was struggling, but I think they just didn't know how I needed to be helped. And I helped. And I think that's probably where that was like my responsibility. Like I, looking back, I'm like, now I know that it had to come from me in a way. And I remember them just kind of like sitting there talking and, you know, being like, you know, we're going into a hub, like we're not going to take you, like you need to
get better,
rest, like you're going to see a psychologist every week, like kind of went through all this stuff. And I remember just kind of being like, oh my, like I just like,
how's like, I was like, yeah. I know, I feel like what it,
yeah. I remember walking out and just like burst into tears and like even Jenny, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Sorry, this is a bit of a tear.
No, I don't know. Oh my God, this is so random. No. Jenny O'Keefe came into the, oh my God, guys.
Sorry.
We saw that
so
way.
So lovely. It's the room.
I don't think I've ever told this story before.
Thank you for telling us.
No, that's okay. Oh my God. She came into the change room and she burst out crying with me. And we just like sat there, crying. And it was just like that moment. I was like, oh my God, like what have I done? Like, I just kind of was like, I don't know what to do now. And then pretty much, they kind of like went away to the hub and I remember like not hearing from them at all. Like I didn't hear from Julie and I knew that my contract was obviously coming to an end that year and I just like wasn't sure, like, you know, in my head I was like, fuck, they shouldn't sign me because I haven't played. I need help.
I think it's even harder, like you got injured, like the Achilles stuff was out of your control. Risk, like everything that's happened, like it's so hard. And then to be told you're not going after you've battled all this other stuff already.
Yeah.
It's just like another thing that you're like,
I know, and I was like, oh my God. I remember just like, I feel like, you know, obviously spent time with family, like it was really good, but I obviously not hearing from them the whole time. I was just like, I felt so alone and I didn't know, because obviously like our doctor was, I think she was pregnant. I don't know what was happening there. So I kind of just, I didn't know what I was meant to be doing. Like I'm like, am I meant to rest or, and in my head, I think I knew I was still struggling. So I kept trying to train. Like, so I kept pushing myself and that's when I kind of got more like of a chronic fatigue. And that was kind of, I remember that I had another meeting, I think, at the end of the season Well, actually, this is before the meeting. Brani actually had messaged me on Facebook and was like,
Facebook, where everything begins. Like, she would have had your number.
Yeah,
come on, Bryza.
She definitely had my number. I was like, hello.
Friend request.
Yeah, literally. And she pretty much was like, hey, like, what are you doing next year? Would love to chat to you. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I did not expect that at all. And this is before I had spoken to Julie. And I remember being like, messaging her, like, hey, like, can we just chat? Like, can we catch up? And eventually, you know, she kind of set up a Zoom and, you know, long story short, was like, you know, we would love to just have you back as a training partner. Like, yeah I can't vouch to sign you again when you haven't played, blah, blah, which I was like, you know, I was angry, but I was obviously like, I understand, like, I haven't been able to play. And then, so I feel like it was hard because I felt like I didn't want people to view me as leaving Giants as like a spy, but you didn't sign me, like, I'm leaving. But it was definitely, yeah, it was not like that. I think I just knew that I was like, fuck, I need to do something to change. Yeah. Like, I'm stuck in this kind of rut and I know that, yeah, I need to change something. And that was probably more, yeah, why I ended up moving to the Swiss, because I was like, when I got that message, I was like, oh, like, I kind of.
A fresh start.
Yeah,
almost.
Fresh kind of feeling. And I was like, wow, I'm actually, like, I'm growing up, always wanted to be a Swift. And I was like, maybe this is
happening for a reason.
Meant to happen this way. And then, yes, I remember speaking to Julie and she was so fine about it. Like, she was so great and was like, you know, I just want you to, yeah, enjoy netball again. I want you to, yeah, be happy and be, you know, okay. And then, yeah, that's why I made the decision to kind of come to what a sub story, guys.
No, oh, but no, I think as well, it's so interesting. And like you said, like, you know, outsiders maybe would be like you said, oh, Tegan left the Giants. Like, but nobody, and this is like the classic story. And no one knows what goes on in anyone's life until you actually, you know, ask questions and get to know. And I guess, like, looking back now, are you sort of like grateful for what happened in that situation? Because I guess had, you know, Giants, you know, obviously it was really tough for you at the time. But had Julie and the Giants sort of not pulled you into that meeting, and, you know, maybe it wasn't done the right way, but, you know, maybe they would have let you go to the hub and things would have got even worse. You would have fallen out of love with netball and who knows what would have happened after that. Like, do you look back on it now with a fresh lens?
Looking back on it, I'm like, I think that meeting, as much as it was horrible, like, it was, yeah, probably one of the best things to happen, because I was just like, I think I needed that really kind of like a knockback. That wasn't like an obvious injury. It was just like a – yeah, kind of pushing it on me to be like, you need to make this change or, like, we can't help you anymore. And I think that was probably the biggest thing when I was like, you know, you're so right. Like, I need to, yeah, change something. And even, like, looking back, like, I remember, like I said, when this morning, like, even the Achilles and stuff, like, I used to kind of hate fitness growing up. Like, I used to just train and stuff, but when I, like, couldn't do it and being, like, and even with the glandular fever, like, it was such a different kind of struggle because I was, like, physically I can still try and do it, but I just, like – yeah, it was different.
Yeah, it's not like
feeling.
A body part that's injured, but it's like your insides,
like,
that's hurt,
almost
which is
more frustrating in a way, because I just, like, yeah, couldn't kind of push myself, which probably was a good thing because I physically couldn't, like, go any further. So I think that just makes me kind of appreciate moving my body now. Like, I just think, you know, if you can, you must. I think that's a quote that someone else uses, but, like, that's why I just think I have such a better perspective on, yeah, just moving and fitness and just, like, taking care of my body, listening to my body, because I feel like I went through such a hard phase of just, like, not, yeah, loving my body, really.
So I feel like even you doing that website for kids as well, like, to have a look at, because I don't know, I feel like it'd be pretty inspiring to see, like, that sort of thing. Like, oh, my God, look at this healthy relationship, like, this girl's got, like, going with food. Like, do you know what I mean? And, like, for you to say your story now, like, it's just only going to help people, like, for themselves.
Yeah, and that's what I want. Like, I don't want people to view me as, like, studying this stuff now and be like, oh, I don't want to listen to her because she's being like that. But I feel like, yeah, I mean, the way I am now, I'm like, wow, like, if I mean, you can't obviously change the past, which I think this has obviously led to where I am now. But, yeah, it's just, it's crazy to be able to just be like, yeah, I want a chocolate bar and not even think twice about it. Like, I'm like, wow. And when I see all these other young girls and hearing that, you know, I think anorexia is such a high percentage of young girls, it just makes me so sad. I just, like, I want to help those that, you know, are going through something similar than what I did. Like, I just feel like it's so much better having this freedom with food and with your body, like, it's honestly just, like, takes this weight off your shoulders. So, yeah, like, I would love to help, all those young girls or boys that are going through a similar thing.
Did you find that, like, and again, we don't have to go into too much depth of this, but, like, did you find that it was sort of like, you know, you look at where you are now and where you were then, was it a really long journey or was there, like, a moment where just things clicked for you, or was it kind of like the, you know, getting the call from Bryony or whatever, like, but, you know, obviously the way that you talk now about having that freedom, did you feel like this one day you woke up and felt like that, or was it a real sort of long process?
It was definitely a process. Like, I think I remember actually this time at Swifts, I think I was still obviously struggling, like, came over and, like, they were being so good at monitoring me and kind of bringing me in and out of training. And I remember there was this one week, I think, that I did – I think I did every session and I was like, wow. And I felt, I got to the end of the week, I was like, oh my God, I feel like fantastic. Like I was just like, wow. And I was trying so hard with my fueling. Like I was working with, I think, the Swiss dietitian at the time. I had a great relationship with the Giants dietitian as well. So I was still speaking with her and like, it was just, I just didn't want to make it like, I didn't want to be that girl that had that kind of, that's who I was, you
that
know
was
what I mean?
Like, yeah, that was who you were. Like,
yeah,
was
a, and that's why like I think I struggled, area, yeah. Yeah, with kind of...
a label or whatever.
Because I still obviously loved cooking, I loved nutrition, I loved all that, but I just like, yeah, I didn't want that label of like, or being like, oh, you shouldn't be... Because I remember someone made a comment like, oh, you shouldn't study that if you've struggled with this or like follow that. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be...
If anything, it gives you more, yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because you understand every side,
yeah,
of it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So I just, I was very aware of like, like coaches and stuff, I didn't want, yeah, them to think a certain way of me. Or like, yeah, even when I like share my recipes or share, express something of food, I just, in my head, I went through this time of now being like, oh God, are they now thinking like, well, I shouldn't be doing that. Or I shouldn't be doing this. Or like, I don't know. So I struggle with that. But like, then I think, you know, posting on my social media, my recipes and stuff, like that's kind of allow me to just not really care what people, yeah, think anymore. And I'm like, now I just like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, should I post it? And I'll just post it and like put my phone down. I feel like that's kind of giving me this almost confidence as well, just about, you know, it's my page. If they don't want to see it, they'll just unfollow me. Like, I just think.
I think, yeah, it's such an important point that you just make then as well, though, because, like, for in, you know, I think it's sport in any level, but, like, I feel like some people probably that aren't in it don't understand that fear of, like, what people view you as. And I remember, like, when I was going through the ranks, like, my thing was that I was, you know, a coach once called me Peter Pan because I was never going to grow up. And then I had this real sort of, like, fear of, like, oh my God, like I can't try and be funny or I can't try and, you know, I've got, yeah, to be really serious. And then you start like losing and I'm like, my personality is to be jovial and to have a laugh and, but then I still feel like I can be serious when I need to. But I struggled for so long that my label was that Maddie is the joker, yeah, or Maddie is this. And like, Toto, I remember, you know, you go through that thing of people thinking that sometimes, oh, she doesn't try because she didn't do this. You know what I mean? Like, there's always these labels that people put on you and it's like, no matter how hard sometimes you try to change them, like, you can so easily get pigeonholed into this one thing, and then you start questioning everything. Like, I remember I did one thing where I retweeted that Justin Bieber was coming to Australia and he was the date that he happened to be coming was the date that, like, this is like months in advance, yeah, and like months later they worked out that the date that I'd retweeted was when the grand final for the netball was going to be. And they were like, the fact that you retweeted that makes it look like you, this is years and years, yeah, ago. So the people that I'm talking about aren't even involved in netball anymore. But I'm like, again, you become on so high alert and it's like things that you never think that you should even have to think twice, yeah, about. You start being like, oh, should I retweet that? Or should I be smiling in this moment? And
100%.
Again, very different examples. No, yours was totally a lot more agreeing, real, but it's like, I think in
just a bit
as real. Yeah, so come on, it doesn't seem
just as real.
But like labels, and you watch, yeah, it in like all professional sports, and it's so hard because then you start 100%. To question everything, yeah, about yourself and you almost lose the sense of identity. So I felt the fact that you've addressed that and said that, you know, you've now got to a point where you're like, you know what, I'm going to do that because that's what, yeah, I like to do. And everyone, like coaches and everything, think outside. It's the best. Exactly.
Yeah, 100%, I know.
Go crazy. So no, I think, thank you so much for sharing that, because I feel like there's going to be so many people that can relate to so many elements of that as well.
That was just such a great deep dive into.
Oh my God, I want to like, I just want to hug you from across the air.
You touched my foot, guys.
Just touch.
Oh, I've got exhausted now.
I know. We can pause if you want, and then we can, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Sure. Let's take a pause.
Time out.
All right, well, that was heavy in a good way.
In the best
Sorry
way.
About that, guys.
No, it was great. I feel like educational, learned a lot about Tegan. I learned a lot about Tegan myself as well. Maddie Ibs is going to be mad that she's out on this one.
Sorry, Mads.
But we thought we'd line things up with a bit of this or that, random questions about food, since we've got our foodie in here.
And other just Teganisms.
Yeah. Actually, give me whatever we want to ask. I'll start off with a food one.
All right, done.
Would you rather, I feel like I know the question to answer this one.
Oh, I might surprise you.
Okay. Nah, I'm going to change it.
Oh, boo.
All right. Would you rather eat a banana that isn't ripe or too ripe?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a tough one. Do I have to eat it or can I use it with something?
Eat
it raw, like as in you can't cook, yeah, it, you can't put it in the banana bread. Yeah.
Probably overripe, I think, like brown.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know.
I'm the opposite.
I hate this. I'd vomit. I hate the taste of it, or like the, when the
but
green.
Then it's too, yeah, green.
But then the brown, I'm like, you're eating this like eating mush. Sludge.
Okay, I'm not thinking of black bananas at the bottom of your nipple bag.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
See, mine, I want like a tinge of green,
yeah,
almost.
Oh, no. See, I want like dots, but like, yeah, just starting with dots.
Yes.
Okay. Are you eating a banana for sustenance or for taste?
Both.
So you enjoy a banana.
I love a good banana.
That's fair. I must admit, I've become partial to the banana. But I'm more have that because it's like sustenance. But I'm like, oh, actually, if you get a good one, it's quite enjoyable.
But to be fair, I would rarely just probably eat a banana sometimes. I usually do just have it like before training or before a game. I don't know why. Or I'd rather probably have an apple or something.
Apples are my favorite. Yeah. They're not as good to digest before training.
You can ask one of
that. Mine's not food related at all. Mine's Akatar or Fourth Wing.
Ooh. Oh my God, that's
No, because she likes Throne of Glass better.
Oh no, I'm currently in the Throne of Glass era.
And that's Akatar. Oh wait, no.
That's Akatar's other series. It's really good. But I think I'm an Akatar. I think I'm a Ryson girl.
Reason?
That's so weird because it's Zayden Reason as well.
Yeah.
They're like weirdly linked.
They're very similar.
I know.
See, I haven't got... Guys, I've almost finished Fourth Wing.
You've taken like 2 years.
Yeah, I know. Anyone that's listening to the podcast has been following along, I got in a real bad stage of it. But I'm back now and it's something really interesting has just happened.
Oh, wait.
People that are listening, I'm just going to say it. But Zayden's second signet.
That was a shock.
That was
apparently,
a big bomb,
though, if you read it from... Read the other book again, you can tell.
Now that I think about it, I'm kind of like, oh. Yeah. That was good for me. I was like, okay, well done. I'm back on track. Involved in it, interested in it. I'm having a real glitch of my brain at the moment, sorry.
Okay, but no, I think Akatar.
Sorry. Akatar. That makes me excited to read Akatar then.
I think you would be like...
Yeah, I think you would too.
You'd be a Reese girl, yeah.
Okay, exciting. Exciting. Reese girlies.
And no dragons.
Yeah, there's no dragons.
I'm sick of the dragons. The dragons are useless. They don't do anything.
I was like, I want one. You're like, they need to fight.
They don't do anything. I'm like, what's the purpose? They're almost like a hindrance. I'm like, you act like, yes, they channel them. True. But they actually don't do anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry guys.
Okay. I feel like this one's a bit hard for you too. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I go through phases of the tea. Okay. Like, I've got to be really in the mood. But coffee's like an everyday. Oh, sorry.
That's getting...
Hard and knock you out. That would have been... Sorry, guys. Coffee. But it's got a soy milk.
Oh, see, I...
Have to be Bonsoy.
Or soy boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guys, if you're a soy milk drinker, you
Tegan will, like, leave a cafe, walk, like, 2Ks to another one just because they don't have the right...
Guys, Bonsoy. It's worth it. I'm not a coffee snob. I'm a soy milk snob.
Yeah, that's fair. So this is kind of in line with what we alluded to earlier about Tegan. Anyway, I'll ask the question. It's this or that, and then we're going to elaborate. Would you rather have a sugar daddy or be a cougar?
Sugar daddy.
So Tegan, that's a real thing for older men, to the point where, Tegan, can you please get out your phone? Don't you have a list?
On my list,
Can you read out?
There's a special man on there that makes that.
Tegan has a secret love for Tony Brown.
Love you, Tony, if you're listening.
Okay, did you know that my mum thought that in that poem it was about Sarah? Because again, people for context, for my 100th game for the Swiss, the girls wrote like poems and they all wrote their own like stanza. And Tegan's was very funny and said like...
All right, I've got it.
Oh, you've got it? You've got it? It was very funny.
Yeah, so everyone else talked about like normal stuff, like to our dearest captain from game 100, 1 to 100, you've been like loud and proud, like that sort of stuff.
Classic, boring.
Boring.
And then Tegan's. I love all your stories. They're never bad. But not as much as I love your dad. I'm better off lonely if I'm not with Tony.
I honestly had tears. Because I think my mum thought that because there was like one preseason where Sarah and my dad like bonded and stuff. And so mum goes up to Sarah on the weekend and goes, oh, I loved your poem. And Sarah was kind of like, what? And I was like, you've got the wrong person.
Man, that's so funny. She could think it was Sarah.
Anyway, you give us your list.
Anyway, so...
Give us
but I'm thinking when I say old, they're not like dying.
Sorry, I just spat it.
They're like, Dennis Quaid in Parent Trap. Yeah. Like, that's my kind
I'm
of
okay
vibe.
With this.
Okay, so I'll read out my list. I've got Hugh Grant.
Yep.
And that's more like...
How long do we have?
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Grant in like Notting Hill or like...
No, older Hugh Grant. Like more Love Actually Hugh Grant.
Oh, yes. That's
what I love.
Yeah.
You would like this one, Simon Cowell.
Oh my God, Simon Cowell. It's the charisma.
It's the personality.
It's the
teeth.
Or
the Botox.
Honestly. No, this is that before he's gone. He's really gross now. Before.
Like when he discovered One Direction.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably why. So he's on there. And I've got Coach... Well, I don't know why I've written Coach Taylor, but from Friday Night Live.
This one is so 100%. Fair. So you get
it's more
so
like
fair.
A dad
Kyle
vibe
Chandler.
Rather than...
Kyle Chandler.
Yeah.
Oh, he in... Friday Night Lights. I'd choose him almost over Tim Riggins.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Both. Depends what mood you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh, he really doesn't care.
Honestly. I do have Pierce Brosnan, but I don't know if he's like, I love him, but like.
When he's singing?
Okay. Yeah, for me, singing. Pierce Brosnan, I him, where I would actually like propose to him, drop him on my knees. When you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? SOS.
That is good. Yeah, so Pierce Brosnan.
That is
on there.
My epitome. I love Pierce Brosnan.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
You mean like, you're not now.
What was this? Jones, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, like that kind of vibe. No, see,
he's
older.
Probably the one that I don't love.
Jeff Bridges. He's Stick It, that guy.
No, okay. Oh, he's got a bit in
he's
Stick
It. He's got a kind
it.
Of yeah, a vibe. Yeah. This one's quite funny. Jack Nicholson. But not now, because now he looks like a drug addict.
Isn't he in Anger Management? Is that the movie that he's in?
Oh. No, but like it's his personality, like the cheeky like personality.
So I realise there's no
so you know them.
So I know them. We're personally. You like this one, Kevin Costner.
Yeah, we love in Yellowstone.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, love. Hotch from Criminal Minds.
We just started Criminal Minds.
Stop it. But he's older. Oh, really? Mm. Random. I used to be obsessed with Criminal Minds.
It's on Disney.
Oh, my God. I probably can't say this one. Yeah, well, YOLO. Leon Cameron, the old judge. He was so nice to every time I used to see him when I was over. I'm like, oh, my God, love you.
You know, I can get that.
Yeah. And then I've got Dennis Quaid.
Yep. Love.
Like, of course.
Yep. And Eric Thompson. What's his name? From Pack the Rafters, that guy. But from when he was in 800 Words, I used to love him.
Oh,
in
the
that.
Dad. Oh. Yeah.
He kind of does it for me.
I like that we've got a bit of, you know, Australians, a local.
Yeah. And I randomly got Carlisle on there from Twilight. I don't know why. Carlisle. Oh. But like in real life, I know. And then,
that was the best reaction.
I just kind of love him. And then I've got normal actors, but they're kind of boring. And then I've got normal men.
Just Tony Proud.
No, there's two dads on there. Can you guess who the other dad is? You guys probably wouldn't know. So I've got Proud's dad, and then I've got Gemma Donahue's dad.
I've never met Gemma's dad.
Oh, so Gemma's, long story short, Gemma's 21st. I rocked up, like, when I came from a bottomless, you were there, and I was, like,
ticking along.
Yeah, I was gone, and I remember rocking up and, like, walked in, like, dropped my bag over, and Gemma's dad was there. I remember, like, oh, my God, your dad's such a dilf, like, right in front of him. And it's just been a joke then, but he's lovely.
I love that.
Shout out to John.
So
John and Tony
funny.
Are the two normal men.
So if anyone over the age of 55 is listening, tickets ready.
No, over 40, sure.
Over 38.
38, yeah, give or take. I mean, I'm not against the young guys, like, if you're young and listening.
So just any, if Don't you're a afraid. Guy and you're listening, tickets.
You just got to look like a man. Not a boy, okay? Bit of moustache, facial hair.
So much.
Hair.
Yeah, we can be great.
I'm single, guys. Come on.
I've got two questions in my just to get away from the man stuff. All right. Fair. Where would you rather live, east or north?
North.
Well, that's easy.
What place has better food, east or north?
Oh, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, east is closer to like the city. I feel like Northern Beach is hard because you don't really leave. It's like more of a bubble. Mm. That's hard. I'd probably say east. Mm. I think I'd
brunch or dinner.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that.
See, my idea. I don't really like brunch, but I like a coffee and a croissant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I wouldn't really say brunch, but then probably dinner. But then if it's like a coffee, yeah, I don't really like. Yeah, I would rarely go out for breakfast. I'd go out for more of like a coffee and a
treat.
I feel
like breakfast as well.
Sense.
You can probably cook just as
exactly,
well
and I'm
as
like,
a cafe, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather go out for like a treaty.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so.
You should see Tegan's food list, actually.
Oh my God.
She has organized it in like locations around Sydney. Then it has like what she's been suggested to order.
Ratings.
Then it has her ratings.
Yeah, comments.
And then it has comments. And I'm not kidding. One of the comments is like, didn't put enough chocolate on my cappuccino.
She's very specific.
Literally yesterday I got a cappuccino. It had no chocolate on top. I asked them, because I was like, can I please have some chocolate?
Yeah, because sometimes they put it from the bottom and then they just, yeah. I
know,
but
I'm a duster. It's got to be a duster.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, the food list is great. So some of the comments.
Maybe I should share that or something.
Great place, but. Staff were weird.
Yeah, I love that. To me, that's a big no-no. And like, or if just the service is bad, like if they take a long time, or if they're overly like, I haven't even looked at the menu,
exactly.
Give me
like,
5 minutes.
Exactly.
But then I think I'd prefer that than them give me like 10 minutes of just sitting there because I get antsy.
Yeah, 100%. So
what's your death row meal?
So I think I've kind of changed this. I used to be like, I was having like obviously like entree, main and dessert.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, I kind of don't know what my entree would be, but my main used to be like, I love salmon.
Yeah.
But I've kind of gone off that. It used to be like salmon and like sweet potato fries and like roast Brussels. And then dessert would be like brownie and ice cream. But now I think I'm in a real big Greek phase.
Yum.
So I'm like, maybe it'd be like a big like.
Greek feast.
Yeah, like a pulled lamb, like pita, tzatziki, hummus.
I think it's when you've got like more variety, when you can like pick up more things.
Exactly.
It's like, because
I
get to cover some bases.
I want like a whole
give
set
me
menu.
Surely.
Yeah, surely. Exactly. Until I die.
We love a good Phoebe menu.
Yeah, exactly.
We do. We need to get our dinner club back this week.
Yes,
or next
that's
week.
The plan.
Yeah, we'll next
Pinky,
week.
Pinky J. Indian guys. Yes.
Right. We'll take a quick break and then we'll get back to it.
Okie dokie, let's wrap it up.
I like that.
I don't know why Maddie gets so stressed about doing the interview.
It's kind of so fun.
I wish I did more.
No kidding, Maddie, we love you. Come back.
We miss you.
It's that time of the potty where we do our gains, goals, and obstructions. What should we start with today? Let's get rid of the obstructions, I think, first.
Get it out of the way early.
Yeah, you can go first, Mads.
There's a lot of obstructions I could talk about in terms of the netball world, but I've decided to clear. We haven't really talked about netball, so I'm leaving that. So I'm going for a very like superficial sort of one in that it's been very cold lately, and I've got really bad circulation. Like my fingers go like white and like numb, and I just hate being cold. But it's kind of like an obstruction in a gain because, Tegan, I know that you've been doing the same. But it's meant that all I ever feel like doing is having a bath. Yes. Like I'll be out and all I can think about is I'm so cold. And I'll be like sitting on the couch being like, I'm just going to have to get in the bath. And so my obstruction is that I'm probably wasting like 2 hours of my day every day because I'm having a bath every single day.
I reckon my last bath was in the 2020 hub.
Well, oh my God. I had one last night.
Literally every day I reckon I'm having 21. One.
That's so funny. I'm going to have a bath when I get home too.
I think I will too.
Do I do my obstruction?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine would be my lack of like grammar expertise. I think I tried to get Maddie.
It makes writing a book really hard.
I just like can't do it. I think that was my worst subject at school. Mum's been editing my ebook for me and Maddie Proud has done a little jab as well.
Not very well.
It's just like...
I think English is a bit of a stupid language though, because there's just so many
options.
Yeah.
And recipes are like hard too, I think.
Yeah, just like word things right. But yeah, that's probably my.
That's true, actually. Recipes is kind of like niche. You almost like need to not use grammar in a way to just like cut to the point, but then.
Yeah. God, imagine your recipe book, man.
It would go for 6 days. I'd just elaborate everything. And then you must put your hand in the salt and use two fingers to pinch out a little bit. Talk about oversharing.
Oh, all right. My obstruction is also kind of a gain as well, or a good thing. So after the game, it was raining and we had a members function.
Oh, yeah.
Like, first of all, annoying that it was raining, but like, it was pretty cool for how many people hung around. Yeah, like, get signatures, get photos and stuff. And I feel like, obviously, it's a lot more enjoyable when you win. But after that, after the loss and doing that, I actually felt like so good. Like
yeah,
it was actually really wholesome and like I felt like you connected with people and like, I don't know, it was just really nice. I really enjoyed it. So shout out to our members because we love you.
It's totally so true. They love you no matter what.
Yeah. Which keep giving us love.
We need to do that.
Wait, so was that your obstruction?
That's my obstruction about the rain.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
No, we're all quite positive today. Yeah. Our obstructions are actually still quite good. Sorry, I got confused.
Let's go for our gains.
Gains. My gain, since it's Tegan's episode, I made Tegan's gnocchi bake pre-game and I was so excited because I even went and bought like one of those crock pots from Kmart.
Did you?
Like I bought like a couple of weeks ago in
You'll
preparation.
Use it with
everything. It's like a pastel green. It's so pretty. And delicious. Mm-hmm. I've had it like, and it made so much that I've had it for like the last like 4 days. But so good. And like, I love gnocchi and I love a bake and it was just delicious. So thanks, Tegan. And I actually, again, the recipe was clear enough that even someone like me could make it and make it well.
Perfect. That's what I'm targeting. My gain is, the release of my website, which happened last night, which is exciting. So you'll be able to find the baked gnocchi recipe on there as well.
And how do we find your website?
On my Instagram. There's the link in the bio. And I've done a post about it, which has a link as well, I'm pretty sure.
So do you know what the address is?
Yeah, tostogether.online, guys.
Beautiful.
Have a look.
I love it.
Slay.
My game, again, keeping it Tegan themed. I got a new air fryer for our house yesterday.
I was about to say, when you said you did it in the air fryer, I was like, hang on, do you guys don't have one?
We did have one, but it was like Sophie Carpenter.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Sophie.
Honestly.
Like half the stuff in your house is Sophie Carpenter.
She left a fair bit.
Shout out, Sophie.
But yeah, the new air fryer, because I was like, I want to try some of Tegan's recipes, but ours was terrible. So yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah, guys, if you get my ebook, you're going to need an air fryer for a lot of the recipes.
Yeah, but an air fryer is the best investment
They're
you'll
so
ever
good,
make.
Honestly.
It's so good. I barely use my oven for anything
Literally,
now.
It's so much better.
So
it's
quicker.
Quicker, so much quicker. And to wrap it up, our goals.
Goals is, I know that I've talked about this a bit lately, but I'm kind of proud of myself that I'm like 35,000 words into Grace on the Court 3. For context, Grace on the Court 2 is about 50,000 words, like in like book terms. I'm like starting to kind of wrap things up. So yeah, I've just been in a really good role at the moment and I'm really excited. So my goal, sorry, is to get it done like within the next 2 weeks. So by the time the season finishes.
Wow. Which, just edit it.
Yeah. And like when I say done, it's like, it's very rough, but at least have like the story all written, like the premise, everything like that done.
Any spoilers?
Okay. Spoiler. I'm going to give everyone a spoiler. I think it's going to be called Grace Off the Court.
Oh, love it.
Wow.
So read into that what you want. But yeah, that's sort of where this book's going. Yeah.
I feel like you were over the netball stuff.
Yeah. There's still netball in it in a way, but it's a different perspective. Yeah, the netball. And yeah, I'm still trying to figure out though if this will like definitely be the last. So I'm trying to work out how I close it. But I've got another idea in the works where it might not be the end of Grace, if that makes sense, but it might be the end of Grace on the Court series. So
there could
be a spin-off, but that's where we're at the moment. So that's exciting.
So exciting, man.
Tegan's inspired me going into an entrepreneur, you know, era.
Someone else's, someone else is releasing a book. How dare they?
I'm going to quickly write my other book.
I hadn't started it until Tegan started getting her book out. God forbid Liz Watson gets another book out. I'll have to beat her again.
I did see that.
Guys, they're for different demographics. It's fine.
Yeah. For it. No grudges are.
And mine's different demographic too, guys, so don't get mad at me. So my goal is to, yeah, get my ebook out there. Originally I wanted to have it out before State Titles, which is this weekend, or State Age, which I think it's done. I just need to work out how to, like, launch. Actually sell it. So I think that's probably going to be my next thing, which I'm going to do this. I've, like, contacted a few people, so.
Any listeners that have any idea of, launching an ebook?
But I think I know what to do. I just keep dabbling at it and keep like trying to fix things. But I think I just need to like
let it fly,
let it be what it's going to be. And then, yeah, so that's my goal.
Good. You're really motivated.
Thanks.
You started this like when you got hurt your hip.
Yeah, did I? I was actually trying to work out when I started it.
Because I remember you sitting at Maddie Ibbs and you're like, I got to go because you've been sitting for too long.
Yeah, that's so right.
Yeah, so this is like you've sped. Thanks. Like you're quick.
Well, you know, got to have more than multiple hobbies, guys.
Absolutely. Well done.
My goal. Again, just taking themed. I hate choosing goals, so this is great.
You're welcome.
Make some more recipes. I tried one of them. I did the ham and cheese.
Squirrels.
Balls.
Mm. Yeah, balls. Bread. I know.
Well, they are delicious.
A lot of them I called like something balls, and I was like, I feel like I'm using the word balls.
Hey, it's netball related.
And everything, I was like, and you just put your balls
in. And
they're
in like, oh my God, she's so good at puns.
I changed it to rolls and I changed it to scrolls, so there might be a few rogue ball words in there.
I love that. Oh, but yeah, Mads, if you want to wrap it up.
Firstly, Tegan, thank you so much. Honestly, it has been an honour, a privilege. We are so lucky to have you. Thank you for sharing as much as you did. You're an inspiration to all of us. Listeners, that's one more time. It's tossed together online. Hit her up. Coaching, ebook, anything you want.
Any old men too.
And
oh, wow, she's plugging it now.
And just slide into Tegan's DMs and she'll be happy to go on a date. But no, there's also one more thing. What was it? Perfect podcasts don't exist. Maddie, oh, Maddie, Maddie, Maddie.